Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
What an encouraging song. Jesus said that in this world you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. So we are victorious even in the difficulties that we face, and we're either coming right out of a difficulty, we're in a difficulty, we're about to head into a difficulty. But there are tribulations in the world, but the Lord has overcome the world through Jesus Christ. And if you have Him, you can hold on. You can hold on to Jesus. If you need one of our lesson guides, if you'll raise your hand, there's a purple sheet that everybody needs. If you don't have one, if you'll raise your hand, somebody will bring it to you, okay? I want you to look at the book of John, and we're going to look at the fourth chapter in the Gospel of John, and we're going to talk about the woman at the well. Now, in John chapter 3, Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. I want you to think about the contrast of the two different people. Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and then the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Think about this. In John 3, he was a man. John 4, she was a woman. He was a scholar. She was uneducated. He was a leader in Israel and would have been, by commitment, he would have been highly moral. She was immoral. He was a favored Jew. She was despised as a Samaritan. He was a politician. She had no community standing. Nicodemus came by night. She came in the light of day, or Jesus spoke to her in the light of day. He knew who Jesus was. He came to Jesus. She'd never heard of him. Nicodemus in chapter 3 was wealthy. She was poor. He sought Jesus, Nicodemus did. She was sought by the Lord at the well. The truth of the matter is everybody, no matter what background you come from, no matter what your economic level, no matter what your race, no matter what your position is in this life, we all need Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I want us to think about what would the woman at the well say to you as we look at this passage of Scripture. Let's read in John chapter 4, and I'm going to read, we'll cover about through the 30th verse, but I won't read all of that, but I want you to follow along. And let's begin with verse 4. This is John 4:4. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Did you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." Verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Number one, we contrasted John 3 and John 4. Jesus was dealing with her initially out of his humanity. You know, we learned this years ago from Dr. D. James Kennedy. He said in his training, he said Jesus was 100%, he was the infinite God-man. He was all God and he was all man. I want you to look in your scripture over at the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says this, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." See, Jesus was tempted just like we're tempted. Jesus was deity. He was all God. Make no mistake about it. But Jesus was also a man. And look what it says. "We don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now back to John. Jesus was all man, but he was all God. And so he deals with her in his humanity, and he deals with her in his deity. Number two, Jesus broke through a social barrier. See, he was not to speak with a woman. The men of that day did not even speak to a woman. Look at verse number 9. "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?'" There was a social barrier there. You know, I was thinking that so much has been Christianity sometimes gets a bad name in the sense of this whole idea of the woman's role in the home. You know, I was thinking about this message this morning. It's an interesting passage of Scripture. Now, if you were here listening to me, I hope you were praying for me when I was preaching that. Y'all just looking at me all pious and everything. But you know, it's a difficult thing. But let me say this to you. In the days of Jesus, and even in our day in cultures, you know, the Christian message is liberating for all people. And it's liberating for women. And here is this woman that is shocked. He's breaking a social barrier in even speaking to her and even taking this interest. He says, "Give me a drink." So he breaks that social barrier. All right, then number three, he broke through a moral barrier. She was an immoral person. Now, Jesus knew that. That wasn't necessarily out in the open. But there was a stigma with dealing with people. Folks, can I tell you this? There are people outside these walls right here tonight. And as the truth is told and as we're transparent, we're not so great ourselves, are we? Only by the grace of God. You know, I always say this and think about it in my mind. I don't know where I'd be without Jesus. You know, those guys, when I was a teenager, they captured me for Christ. But I know my heart. I know what I would have done had I had the opportunity. I know what I was protected from. But it's not because I'm so good. It's because God, in His grace, saved me as a teenage boy when I was 16 before I had the opportunity to do some things that I would have done had I had that opportunity. And even with the blessing of God, did things I shouldn't have done. Let's be honest about it. But I will say this, there's a lot of people outside here that it's like Junior Hill said, they think maybe they've done things too bad that God wouldn't love them. We've got to change that. We've got to communicate to people. We've got to realize that Jesus spoke to this woman who was an immoral woman. He broke that moral barrier and he cared about her and he spoke to her. Matter of fact, if you look at verse 18, it says, "For you have five husbands and one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." So he broke down not only that social barrier, but he broke through a moral barrier. Look at verse 27 quickly. Verse 27. When the disciples came back, notice what they said. At this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Now, they hadn't even talked to her yet. They hadn't even had a conversation necessarily. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" In other words, they didn't say a word, but they marveled that he was talking with a woman. He broke that social barrier. He broke that moral barrier. But I tell you, number four, he broke through the racial barrier. Because in verse 9, the scripture says, "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?'" Now, the Samaritans came about as you may have this in your Bible. You know that, now I want you to know that we believe the Bible is totally the Word of God, all the way from Genesis to maps. I'm just kidding, not really. But you have in your Bible, it goes through Revelation, and then you get your concordance, and then you get your maps. I should have had a map for you. But in the land of Israel, there was Judah here, Samaria here, and Galilee here. And the Bible says that Jesus had to get to Galilee. Now, most Jews would go around to get to Galilee, or they'd go on this side of the Jordan and go around and get to Galilee. They did not go through Samaria, because Samaria was populated with what the Jews at the time thought were half-breeds. They were people that came from Assyria in 722 when Israel was conquered. The Assyrians began to intermarry with the Jews, and that was something the Jews didn't want to happen. And all of a sudden, there was this group called the Samaritans, and the Jews and the Samaritans hated one another. There was all kinds of racial tension. But make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus busted that racial barrier. And I tell you what, God's people today need to bust that racial barrier. Every racial barrier. Let me tell you, the Lord, there's basically two kinds of people in the world. You ready for this? Saved and unsaved. Saved and unsaved. And everybody on this planet needs to know that Jesus Christ loves them, and Jesus was our example in breaking that racial barrier. I tell you, she noticed it immediately. She said, "What is it that you're doing talking to me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans," in verse 9, she says. So the Samaritans were hated by the Jews, and Jesus refused to allow human convention to block his access to her. And can I tell you this? There are places in our society that the human conventions, the way it ought to be, or the way people think it ought to be, would hinder you from reaching out to someone in another culture, someone from another race. But don't you let it happen. Don't you let the human conventions of our society hinder you or block you from loving someone and ministering to someone. Jesus didn't allow it. Jesus was our example. Number five, Jesus related to her in his humanity. That's what we just saw. But also in his deity. And Jesus shifted the conversation from the physical to the spiritual. Now, let's follow along here, beginning in verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would give you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water." Isn't it interesting to think that there could be something that would satisfy the thirst of life? That's exactly what Jesus does. And folks, I'll tell you this. You will chase everything down in this world you can chase to make you happy, but you will never find peace until you find it in Jesus Christ. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." Verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet." You think? I mean, he's reading her mail. Then she brings up worship. Interesting. She brought up worship. That's your second blank there in number five. She brought it up. "Our fathers worshiped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." It's interesting that deep down in her heart, and I think this is encouraging for us, you think, oh, that old boy at work, man, there's nothing going to crack him. Oh, that lady over there that is in that class, there's nothing going to crack that person's heart. Let me tell you something. Deep down in their heart, there's a longing to know if God is really real. And as we live our lives for Christ and use our voice to bring up His word and His ways, God will use that. She brought up, it's interesting, she brought up worship in that situation. So she says, "Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem, in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." It kind of relates somewhat to what I was talking about this morning. Verse 25, "The woman said to him, 'I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things.'" I love this verse, verse 26. "Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am he.'" That's powerful. The one she was longing to know, the one she knew was coming, was Jesus, and he was talking to her. Then all of a sudden, here come the disciples, right? Then the disciples come, and they're marveling that he was talking to a woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek, or why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came to him, talking about the people of the city. After hearing her testimony, they came out. So what did Jesus do? Number six here. She brought up worship. He confronted her with her sin. Jesus has a way of bringing us face to face with our sin. What, when the presence of the Lord came to Isaiah, he said, "Woe, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." When you come face to face with Jesus and His righteousness, then all of a sudden you're confronted with your sin. And everyone who ever comes to Christ has to realize they're lost. Sometimes I meet somebody and they'll say, "Oh, I've always been a Christian." Well, no, you haven't. The Scripture uses a lot of concepts to describe what it means to be a Christian. One of them is to be born again. There's a time in your life when you weren't born, and then you get born. You see, there's a time when all of a sudden it happens, and there's birth. And in the same way, spiritually, there's a time when we're without Christ, and then we become saved, or we become born again, or we become adopted, or the Bible calls us that we have become saints in the Lord, or saved, you see. And so he confronted her with a sin. That has to happen first. But then in verse 29, it says, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Now, here's your blank there, number 7. She confessed her belief. You say, well, it doesn't say that. Oh, yes, it does. Because in the language used in her question to all the people in the city, see, the woman left in verse 28. She left her water pot right there. And she went into the city and said to the men, interesting. She went into the city and said to the men, she said, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And the way this is constructed, it's like she's saying, this is the Christ. I'm letting you know this is the Christ. In other words, the obvious answer is yes. That's the way that is constructed. So by her wording it that way and by the scripture wording it that way, we know she went in and she said, I have found the Christ. Could this be the Christ? Yes. He told me everything about myself. So she confessed her belief. And folks, listen, we've got to confess our belief in Christ. There's no secret agent Christianity. Amen? This is not the Lone Ranger. This is not something that you're kind of doing it, you know, like Zorro on the side or anything. Part of being a Christian is letting people know, I am a Christian. Now, it doesn't mean wearing it on your sleeve and living like the devil and just saying to people you're a Christian. That hurts us. But it's not being ashamed of Jesus Christ, and it is letting people know that Jesus Christ has saved you. Jesus Christ has changed you. Jesus Christ has come into your life. So she confessed her belief. And then the last thing, number 8, we'll be done. She changed her lifestyle. Because here's what she said. She said, come see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And the answer is yes. Verse 30, then they went out to the city and came to him. In other words, the people were moved. She left her water pot. She went into the city to tell them. And as a result of her testimony, they came out to inquire about Jesus Christ and to hear Jesus Christ. So here is what I think you can write down there at the bottom on that long blank. It's a kind of a long one. Come see a man who can change your life. Here's what the woman at the well would say. Come see a man who can change your life. Come see a man. I have found the Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.